Our gospel lesson for today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36b to 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Thou who art over us, Thou who art one of us, Thou who simply art, give each of us a pure heart that we may see Thee, a humble heart that we may hear Thee, a heart of love that we may serve Thee, and most of all, a heart of faith that we may always abide in Thee. This is our hope. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. At the Hoffman household, the phrase, "What's for dinner?" is seldom heard. Usually, instead, the questioning words that echo from the girls' mouths are, "Where are we going for dinner?" "Let's do lunch," or "Let's meet for coffee," or "Let's get something to eat" are common phrases that we all use when we want to get together with someone. It probably means, on one hand, that we are hungry, we have to eat. But on the other hand, it can also mean that we need to get together. There might be some things that need to be discussed or need to be shared. It means that there is a relationship there that needs to be nurtured and nourished. And sharing a meal together, whether that means dining in or eating out, can help us to facilitate that. Meals are important, and not just for our nutritional health. Look at this morning's gospel lesson. I believe that there is more happening than we first realize. We can't deny that food, eating, and fellowship are an important part of our faith. Here Jesus is asking, "What's there to eat?" or "What's for dinner?" This is important. Remember that this takes place after the resurrection. This is, in fact, the third time that Jesus appears to his disciples. His previous attempts at connecting with the disciples have not worked out very well. This, according to the Gospel of Luke, is Jesus' final attempt to convey his message to the disciples. The disciples have not gotten it. They have been unable to piece the puzzle together. They have not been able yet to grasp the whole picture of what was taking place. They have seen the risen Christ and even touched him, but a part of them is still in disbelief. What will it take to get them to understand? It will take fellowship, right? The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. It means coming together as a community, breaking bread together, sharing in a meal. The gospel accounts of the faith community have many accounts of the faith breaking bread together. Usually at those meals, there is something that's pretty special that's revealed. Jesus begins his ministry by attending a wedding feast. There are instances of miraculous feedings, including the feeding of the 5,000, and of course the meal that Jesus celebrated with his disciples before his death. And here in this morning's gospel lesson, we have this post-resurrection appearance of Jesus asking, "What's for dinner?" Now, it's no accident that the church thrives on dinners and food. There's something about the presence of food which enables us to get to know one another on a closer level. It's almost impossible to separate spirituality from hospitality. They go hand in hand. One is usually an expression of the other. And to resist an opportunity of fellowship is to resist a significant dynamic of our faith experience. Why else would Jesus ask such an important question? Fellowship is important. What's for dinner? Although you might be asking right now, what's for lunch? Over the years, what is it that we have heard that keeps families together, right? Mealtime, right? A common meal, whether it is around the dining room table or kitchen table or sitting at a table at Chipotle. And we are quickly nearing the seasons of graduations and weddings and family reunions, all which will be celebrated with huge amounts of food. People who have not seen one another for long periods of time will sit down and talk with one another. They will catch up with each other's lives. They will celebrate the past and look forward to the future. People who are even at odds with certain relatives or family members will actually acknowledge their presence and, at the very least, make small talk. Breaking bread together is able to do something that nothing else can do. When we agree to do lunch, it also can mean that we have unfinished business. There may be something important that needs to be discussed or something that needs our attention. This is not just a casual lunch that Jesus is having with his disciples. Jesus wanted to continue to reveal to them God's love and God's grace. To them, Jesus wanted to reveal their part of the mission. Sharing a meal with his disciples gave Jesus one final opportunity to reveal to them the task that was ahead of them. The meal set the tone and the basis for an invitation for further discipleship. And this fellowship transforms that meal into something sacred. Not only is Jesus trying to take care of some unfinished business, he's also laying the groundwork for future new beginnings. You know, the disciples shared in that meal together, but they didn't necessarily get what they were asking for. You know how it is. When your children or your spouse asks, "What's for dinner?" Or better yet, "What's that?" Or, "What's that smell?" Or they make a comment like, "That again?" Or, "I'll have mac and cheese or leftovers." It's very discouraging for the one who makes the meal. When it comes to meals and eating and life, sometimes we don't always get what we want. Sometimes we get those vegetables and those other nutritious things we don't like lima beans or Brussels sprouts, but it is exactly what our body needs. The disciples, however, got more than what they expected. They got an invitation to go out from their hiding places, from their fear, from their doubting, to be witnesses of the faith. You know, many folks tell me that they come to church to worship, to be fed, and they want to leave with their lives full, having been nourished or stuffed with spiritual nutrition. I would rather folks go away from church, not stuffed to overflowing, but encouraged to take away something to chew on for the week. Too often, too many times we eat and we are satisfied and we don't show back up to the table until we are determined that we are hungry again. Faith is not always about filling ourselves to satisfy our needs. Faith is about allowing God's grace and love to fill us so that we can use what God has given us to fill the lives of others. God never intended us to be personal, individual consumers only, but faithful witnesses who are willingly able to share their faith with others. For some, I know this is a little bit hard to digest, but it's true. Church is supposed to be a place to have your mind blown away, your spirit engaged, your soul challenged. Just think about what the disciples experienced. This space, this place is not an escape from reality. It's a place where Jesus stands among us as he asks, "What's for dinner?" In other words, what are you willing to feed me? What part of your life and your things will you use in ministry? The disciples were given this visible and tactile assurance as they sought to understand. Jesus showed them his hands and his side as he stood among them at the dinner table. And what we have 2,000 plus years later is the visible church. These walls, the stained glass, the music, each other. We have sought something visible to reassure us. We have sought something visible and concrete, and we have received it. But sometimes we, like the disciples, we just don't get it. We are scared and afraid. We live in fear that we might never have enough, that our faith is not sufficient enough to tell others, or that we may fail in our attempts. The gospel assures us that God is with us. God's peace. God's peace. What else do we need? It's not just a matter of being fed and then going to our easy chair for a smoke of the pipe or to the couch to take an afternoon nap. It's now our time to get moving, Jesus says. It's time to be living witnesses of Christ's resurrection and of God's tremendous love out there. We have come here to eat, to feast upon the essentials of our faith, to hear God's word. We are here because Jesus stands among us and speaks to us. He has called us here. Some will leave in fear. Some will be afraid. Some will doubt. That's normal. Just look at what happened to the disciples when Jesus appeared to them. We have the witness and example of the disciples. So think of me, Jesus reminds us. Think of me every time you sit around the table, any table, and share a meal together. Think of my sacrifice and my love, and think of the responsibility that I have given to you. We may not get the meal we are seeking. We may get something on our plate that we don't want. Nevertheless, let's eat. There is unfinished business to attend to. There is fellowship and ministry that needs to begin outside of these walls. There are numerous ministries and adventures just waiting to be tried. Now that we've been nourished, we can go. We can go and face the world in which we live. Jesus is counting on it. Thanks be to God.